Today we finish our sermon series on being the people of God. Next week we hop into a new series that is going to be connecting some of the seven deadly sins with some of the Beatitudes. So it's going to be an interesting study through Lent. Today we finish in the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter. This entire series has been through just this first chapter. And so now we close beginning in verse 40. A leper came to Jesus begging him and kneeling. He said to him, "If you choose, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was clean. After sternly warning him, he sent him away at once, saying to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the word so that Jesus could no longer go into a town openly, but stayed out in the country, and people came to him from every quarter. The word of the Lord. It was probably about almost exactly 40 years or so ago when I left college and entered the Peace Corps. Living in Manila, there were a couple of ways you could get around the town. One was on buses, and one was on things called jeepneys. How many of you know what a jeepney is? Good. No one at first serviced it. One person did. So a jeepney, if you think about a World War II jeep, sort of the front end of it, and then put an extended bed on the back with a top, and then benches on either side. That was one of the main modes of public transportation. And so they would run routes, and you would jump on board, and you would hand the driver whatever the fare was, and when you'd get to your stop, you'd bang on the roof, and the driver would stop and let you out. And so there were thousands of these things. And so every day, my friends and I would take a jeepney to get to work. So one day, I'm sitting on my left is one of my friends, and on the right, I mean, generally you got packed on these things with a dozen or so of your best friends, just kind of all crowded in. And on my right hand side were two Filipinas, and they were speaking Tagalog, which I knew fairly well, and I was picking up this sense that what they were talking about was the hair on my arms. Again, they kept looking at my arms. And so, the Filipina sitting next to me just reaches over and she begins rubbing my arm. And then she turns to her friend and describes what it was like, and I could hear her say, "You need to feel it as well." So she reaches over and she does this, and then they start talking about it amongst themselves. All right, so my friend over here is freaking out. He is just losing it, and he just, not to be offensive to the women on my right, he leans in and he goes, "How could you let them do that? How could you, he was just almost breathless. And I said, "Look, we're in a country where people have zero sense of personal space. When you live in a city of 7 million people packed into a place smaller than the city of Detroit, and you're packed on buses and jeepneys like this every day, you have no personal space." So let me ask, how many of you would have felt totally comfortable with what happened to me? Okay, some of you. And I would argue that those of you who do have very small senses of personal space. The rest of you are typical Americans, because we Americans have a very large sense of personal space. Okay? And the way, for kids, when I talk about personal space, the way I like to think of it is it's a force field. Okay? We raise this force field all around us to protect ourselves from someone getting up in our business. Right? That we don't want someone just standing right here, so we put up this force field. And I have to say, I was in a meeting over the weekend, and I watched this happen. I was up in Midland at a meeting, and there was a guy standing about at arm's distance from me, and we were talking, and it was kind of noisy, and I wanted to hear him better, so I took a step over, and he took a step back. I took a step over. He not only took a step back, he turned sort of sideways to me. I mean, so it was like, okay, I have to think force fields here. His force field was up, and he didn't, you know, I was sort of pushing him away. But what's interesting about these force fields is that we don't just use them to protect ourselves in physical space. We use these force fields to protect stuff that's inside us. So let's assume for a minute that you're having a really, really bad day. Everything has gone wrong. And someone walks up to you and says, "Hey, how's it going?" Up comes the force field, and we say, "It's going just..." Yep, we are not about to divulge what is on the inside and how bad our day is going. That force field comes up. And the same thing is true, I think, of our religious life. Okay? That when someone sort of, we have this invisible force field where we keep our faith sort of private. It's buried deep inside, and we don't like it when someone walks up to us and says, "Ken, are you saved?" Right, and so immediately our force field just goes, you know, and it keeps us safe, because then no one can really criticize what we believe or why we believe it, if we're not really sure what we believe. And so we have this force field around us, this personal space, which is why I believe we love this story. And here's why. So let's jump back to the story for a minute. So Jesus is out preaching and teaching and healing, and this man with leprosy sees him and says, "Jesus, I know if you want, you can heal me, you can cure me." And so Jesus does want to do that. And by the way, just take note, Jesus has zero personal space. He reaches out, takes the man by the hand, just like he did with Peter's mother-in-law, and lifts him up, and the disease leaves him. Now, it's at this point that we really like the story, because Jesus says to the man, "Shh, don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone what I've done for you." And we're like, "Yes, I don't have to tell anyone. I can keep my faith force field up, and I don't have to share what God has done for me." Whew. Now, notice, of course, in this story that the man immediately goes out and begins telling everybody about what Jesus has done for him. And we just shake our heads and go, "At least we listen." You know, at least we listen, and we know we are not supposed to tell others. Unfortunately, that's not the point of the story. Because even though Jesus tells this man not to tell, the man cured of leprosy is lifted up as a real hero in the story. Now we have no idea why Jesus tells this man not to go and tell people. Maybe he doesn't want to be known as that miracle-working rabbi from Galilee. Maybe he doesn't want so many people coming and surrounding him that he can't actually function in the ministry to which he's been called, telling people about the kingdom of God and what's coming into the world. We're not really sure. But what we are sure of is that Mark lifts up this cured man as the example of who we are supposed to be. As the people of God, we are to be those who tell others about what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And even though it's silent, I can hear the force fields coming up. They're just raising right up because we don't want to think that somehow we are supposed to, and I'm going to use the E word, evangelize. But let me tell you, that's not what's in the story. See, I think sometimes when we listen to people like me talk about, well, you're supposed to go out and tell people about Jesus, what we see are, you know, televangelists like we talked about last week, or we think about people who just get in your face about what you ought to believe. One of my church members in San Antonio visited a different Presbyterian church one Sunday. It was a new church. He decided to go check it out. And as he walked in the door, the greeter did to him what I did to Ken. The greeter comes right up and says, "Do you know Jesus? Have you been saved?" And my friend said, "Yeah, and bye." You know, he was out the door and showed up at our church for church. Or we think of people, how many of you have ever been to the Alamo? Any of you? Ever? A few of you? Okay. The Alamo, right? Out in front, there's this big plaza, and there's this guy who's out there every day, and he has a little sort of podium he stands on, and he yells and screams at people that they're supposed to believe in Jesus, and if they don't believe in Jesus, they're going to the bad place. But if you want to go to the good place, then you need, I mean, just, and people, you can see them make this wide berth around him. And sometimes that's what we think of when we think of we're supposed to be people who tell. But I want us to go back to the story. The man in the story didn't go to people and say, "You need to believe in Jesus. Or here's what's going to happen to you if you don't believe in Jesus." He tells them what's happened to him. He tells them what Jesus has done for him. He tells them that here is this man who reached across all social convention and took my hand and loved me and cured me. That's what telling is about. Telling is not about convincing someone to believe in Jesus or threatening them that if they don't believe in Jesus, it is simply sharing what God has done for us. How many of you could say that my faith in Jesus Christ has done something good for me? All of you then have a story to share. All of you have something to tell. And you don't tell it by sort of trying to break someone else's shields down. Because remember, almost everybody around us has that same sense of personal space, and it's up. It's not you shoot sort of evangelistic missiles at their shield to break it down. that I think what God does is God offers us times where God brings people who are in need together with those of us who have a story to share. That people come to us and their shields are down and their force field is down and they are hurting and they are looking for love and grace. They are looking for something good in their life. And in those moments, they are open to hearing our story. They're open to us telling them. That's what it means to be the people of God. It doesn't mean keeping all of what God has done for us private and buried deep inside of us. It means being willing to tell our stories, to share what we have, to offer to others the gift we've been given. And so what I want the kids to do is I want you guys, if you would, to draw a picture of God's love. Some way you have felt God loving you, something God has given you. And when you draw those, you can spend the rest of the service drawing those. And then at the end of the service, come out and we're going to take a picture of them and we're going to put them on the website so you can see them. Okay? So you guys do that because that's one way of you telling people what God's love has done for you. So, my challenge to the rest of us, although you can draw a picture if you want, is to ask yourself this question: how open am I to telling other people about what Christ has done for me? When the time presents itself, how open am I to telling someone else what a difference Christ has made in my life? Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you such thanks that your love has been poured out into us and for us. Help us to lower our shields a bit that we might share our story, that we might share our story with someone who needs to hear that they are loved and cherished by you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.